Welcome to another UCTV.tv podcast presented by University of California Television.
I want to welcome everybody to another program in the context of the 50th anniversary of UCSD. I want to contextualize this because it's an important moment for our university. As you know, this particular set of lectures are part of an initiative led by the Division of Arts and Humanities under the direction of Seth Leder to celebrate particularly the art and architecture in our campus in the context of this 50th anniversary. Of course, this is about a celebration of the campus and the architecture and the art. And on one hand, I cannot avoid just briefly just mentioning a meditation about what the celebration means. Of course, it means a retroactive look, a celebration of achievements, framing certain lineages, etc. This was, in fact, what the previous speakers, as historians, have enabled, a critical context within which to evaluate the present. But on the other hand, I believe that a celebration, of course, is also an opportunity for self-critique, how to evaluate, how to elevate, in fact, this history to enable a more projective aspiration, a more projective imagination, to rethink our achievements, the lessons learned in order to construct new models of possibility. This implies, and this has been part of our discussion, our debate in the committee and with these dialogues, this implies a fundamental shift in our thinking, institutionally, of course, but also directly in the terms and in the way we have been growing as a city and as a campus. In other words, at a time when we are all aspiring for change, the change seems only to be urgent to maintain a status quo, when in fact, what is needed is a fundamental different set of arrangements, because the way we have been growing has become unsustainable, and architecture and the landscape have exhausted themselves as commodities. These are fundamental questions, primarily in a time of a depressed economy. In fact, this has been a recurring theme in our dialogues. In these times of crisis, how do we secure better art, better architecture, and infrastructure? So tonight is the opportunity to reflect on these issues through the work of Jean-Philippe Vassal. Jean-Philippe Vassal is principal of Lacaton and Vassal Architects. He was born in Casablanca, Morocco, and lived in North Africa until the age of 11 when the family returned to Bordeaux, France. On graduating from the École d'Architecture de Paysage in Bordeaux, Vassal returned to North Africa in 1980 to work as an architect and town planner for Niamey, the capital of Niger, until 1985. Building his own house on a dune overlooking the river Niger, using readily available building materials, he came into intimate contact with an informal building tradition, antithetical to Western European standards. He formed his practice with Lacaton, his partner, in Bordeaux in 1987, and then were awarded the project for the Palais du Tokyo in Paris. They moved their office to Paris, occupying the Palais du Tokyo during design and construction, and since then they have been known for their build work ranging from art schools, university buildings, public facilities, and social housing. Vassal has taught at the École d'Architecture de Paysage in Bordeaux, the École Supérieure d'Architecture in Versailles, the Peter Behrens School of Architecture, and the University of Applied Sciences in Düsseldorf, and Swiss the Federal Polytechnic University in Lausanne. In essence, and what the reason I really admire Vassal's work, it's because he has been advocating, and he's been known very much worldwide because of this, an architecture that is straightforward, and as he says, as simple as possible, but not simpler than that. He has been known internationally for enabling a new urban and architectural paradigm that has to do more with the strategies of adaptation and retrofit than with our obsession with the new.
I am really impressed by the landscape and by the situation here in La Jolla. I discovered it. I don't knew before. It's a really beautiful space. And I wanted to start with this image, this photo that I took yesterday. It was just close to the ocean. It is the Munk Institute building. And in this idea of architecture, trees, vegetation, air, ocean, all together, I think that it was a very nice atmosphere and pleasure to define and to discuss about the architecture that I like. The I want to talk a lot about the question of housing and living, and the idea that we live and we are part of the space. In any case, it could be a house, it could be a bedroom, it could be a public building, it could be a street. In all the case, we are in the space we are living in. It's a sort of house. And the question of the pleasure to be in a situation, is for me the first and more important in question. The question to be inside the space, as if the architecture and urban planning could be defined from inside to outside. Not so much like an object, but as a sensation, a feeling that you have in a space and looking outside. I want to start with this first project that I have done, I have built, just coming back from Africa, because it's a very modest project with a very low budget for a very simple house. And the problem here was to make the maximum with the minimum of budget. I think today it's a really important question to try to do in this direction, or to do the maximum with the minimum. Here, this client, this family, they have really the lowest budget as possible to make a standard house, and there it was possible to try to make with this budget 2 times more space. So it's a sort of system that we try to apply now in all buildings. It means double space. Double space for more pleasure, for more comfort to live in. Space that it is added with a greenhouse that takes the sun in the east, and where, in fact, you have this free space that it is additional to the normatic and programmatic function of a house normally. So more than a living room, more than bedroom and kitchen, you have this free space. And this house, normally with the same price, you would have an 80 square meters house, and here it was possible to make a 180 square meters house. With this impression that you use the ray of the sun, you use in a passive way the sun through the transparent elements, you leave the air going away, you use simple materials for shadow, and this gives good conditions for living. So this house was done 20 years ago now. I'm still working. So, to really take this question of budget as a very important question in order to give more freedom, more pleasure for the buildings. We are always constrained by the limit of the program, the limit of the budget, and how it is possible now to be intelligent in order to take freedom for the architect in order to give it to the clients. In the same feeling, this project was for social housing in Mulhouse in the east of France, where exactly the same dilemma was here. How it is possible to reinvent social housing in a different way with more space for the inhabitants. So here the project is simple. It is just to adapt a very simple structure in concrete with prefabricated columns, beams, and floors, and then to overlap it with an industrial professional greenhouse. So create floors and areas and volume, and then creating an envelope with a very sophisticated and interesting systems for flowers or for vegetables. To adapt these two systems, create a system in which it is then possible to create flats. Partition inside with flats on the ground floor and on the upper floor each time, so as each family and each flat could have the qualities of the different spaces. So instead of a flat that will be type 3 or type 4, three beds, for example, and normally that is 70 or 80 square meters, there it was possible to build in the same cost, in the same budget, a flat that is 180 square meters. Using always these systems of envelopes, greenhouse envelopes, in order to have natural ventilation, to use the sun in a passive way, and to create a climate that will also reduce the energy consumption. So it is this play, this game that we can have with the climate that interests us really in all these projects. Or it is possible to use all this passive system in order to create good conditions of living. Inside one flat, the winter garden. And another flat, that it is a type 4 with four rooms, that has a part here in the ground floor and another part here with two other rooms, a big living room opening to the winter garden. The winter garden is here is 40 square meters. The bedroom in the ground floor, the living room opening to the winter garden. Screens for the sun when there is too much screen, and possibilities of ventilation. So it is this free space that changes totally the ways of living, that gives more freedom for the people living in, and that really interests us when it stays in the same budget as a normal flat. This, we can apply this for flats and for houses or for villa, but it's also possible to think about for public buildings like this one that is the School of Architecture in the city of Nantes, close to the river Loire, and where the same problem happens. How it is possible to do with a budget, with a program extremely adapted to this budget, to imagine that a school of architecture can be something else than just a school of architecture. I mean a school of architecture that could be a place of debate, a place of discussion, a place of invitation. So a place where, as if you had a very large living room, you could invite another school to come and to discuss with you. A place where all the inhabitants of the city could be welcome to go to the library, to go to the different places, to see the work of the students. A place that could be the place for the discussion about all what interests architecture, urban planning in the city where the school is. A place where the research is visible. So, and where every inhabitant of the city of Nantes can be interested by what happens here. So the program of the School of Architecture was about 9,000 square meters of programmatic space. And here at the end we try to find how it was possible there again to make double space with the same budget. So here is the location. We use these two parts of the parcel with a street that crosses space. And we imagine a system. It's no more an architecture that is an object, but it is an architecture that it is a system. System working with the climate outside, with the city outside. So we have three main floors at 9 meters high from the ground floor, 7 meters higher, and another one 7 meters higher. Each of these floors has a capacity of 1 ton by square meters. And from the ground floor, a ramp of 8 meters large goes from level 0 to level 1, level 1 to 2, and level 2 to the roof. And the roof is also a 3,000 square meters area with 1 ton by square meters of capacity in order to propose some possibilities and some freedom for the school. So it's very efficient systems of construction with prefabricated elements, only a frame, columns, beams, and floors. The starting point of the ramp and the elevators and stairs. And then the construction of the school. Like a very large system, open to maximum of possibilities. You see here the ramp going from here, and then here, climbing here, and then reaching the roof here. So this was the building like a loft that we leave to the school. A very large space open to construction inside. And then, inside this system, it was possible for the school to go in, to install itself with new floors, more lighter floors made by steel system that are these red ones, because we can use the height of the 7 meters on each floor. And all these floors can support directly on the main principal floors. Inside the system, it was possible to define two kinds of climate. The green color shows the programmatic climate, the one that is heated to 20 degrees, where it is totally insulated, etc. And the blue one that you can see here is a sort of intermediate climate, bioclimatic climate. So it takes the sun by passive radiation, and also it creates a sort of intermediate climate between the outside climate of the city of Nantes and the inside one. And all of this creates a system where you have this combination of possibilities and to use the climate differently. And this offers, at the end, a capacity of 20,000 square meters of use instead of the program of 10,000. And you have more, nearly 30,000 square meters, including outside space. So really, playing with the budget, with the respect of the original budget, giving the capacity of double space and double area. So the ground floor with the three intermediate floors, with the car park here, that it is not on the ground floor and not underground in order to be economic, and different spaces for atelier and auditorium, administration, research. The level one, that it is at 9 meters high, where you have always the system of structural system and the mezzanine, the intermediate level. And the way we have two different climates, programmatic climate and bioclimatic one. Level two, where we find the studios of architecture with the same system of different climates. And the roof, that is this big space area for different possibilities of use. Then we see the building of the intermediate floors, and then the project closed with different facades, sliding, open to the outside. The cafeteria, the auditorium that can open his screens, that can be opened to the landscape behind, that it is the river of Nantes. So this question of the very strong relation all the time between inside and outside. When I define architecture as a system, it is something playing with the outside. It's not an object finished by an envelope, but it is a system always open by sliding doors from outside to inside. And a system that makes all events possible, using the building as a to look at what happens in the streets, the different events, the starting of the ramp and the parking and the classrooms there. This free space where you can have discussions, as always you have the possibility of the programmatic functions, classrooms, auditorium, offices, but in the same time, the place and the space enough to discuss, to debate, to invite other schools, to make workshops, or to invite a school of art to make a big exhibition in all this space. And by this proximity of the traditional teaching and these different events, I think it creates better relation and better interest for educational purpose. Tango, libraries. So all these elements can slide to open when the weather is fine. They take the sun to create bioclimatical space, and here we have the programmatic spaces. So, a lot of light for the classrooms, different ambiences for the classrooms. Possibility to use the space for other elements, like these big dinners or like a concert. Possibilities for the students to play piano and to build some nets in which they stay. Using the space for models. Possibility to bring some elements with the lorries as a storage, to bring them on the ramp, to follow the ramp to the last floor, to use it also as a free space, open to the city, open to the public, open to the cyclists. And then this image that it is still not done, but the possibility to have on the top roof also a circus and a panorama on the whole city. So here also this economy, this what is the minimum of material that I have to use in order to create the maximum of volume, the maximum of capacity, the maximum of use possible for the inhabitants of this school is the main question. Another very little project, talking about urban space, it's a place in the city of Bordeaux, outside the center, very modest situation, where the municipality wanted to embellish the plaza. And where, after a lot of research, discussion, interview with the inhabitants, we have finished by convinced the clients, the mayor of Bordeaux, that the best project was to do nothing. No reason to change the ground, no reason to change the banks, no reason to change the lights, because there was a sort of charm here, everything was enough, and there was absolutely no necessity to change the things that were quite okay, like they were. So just asking to the cleaning service to come much more often as the main plaza of Bordeaux, and it was okay. And we have convinced the municipality that it was the best, this was a project, and they have done it like this. So it means sometimes that we have to take time to see the things as they are, the charm that they can have, and how sometimes to be an architect. Also, it can be to say there is nothing to do. Sometimes it's good when you go to see the doctor because you feel not so well, and when the doctor says you, no, you are not healed, it's okay, you can go back, and then you are better. And even you pay for the doctor. Question of precision, to do with, to add to a situation. This economy is also here. The economy, it is to take the maximum of what exists. Perhaps in a project, already 50, 60% of important things already exist. So we have to do with it. And here it was exactly this. For this house, in a very beautiful space, where normally, when you build a house, you erase the sand dune, cut the trees, and build the house. And here we try to do exactly the contrary. Not change the movement of the sand dune, not cut the trees, and keep them exactly as they are. And then it is possible to be careful with each root, with each branch, to install a steel structure inside the system and to start the building of a new house there with being extremely careful on all the elements. With micro foundations in order to be extremely precise and to avoid and also to take care with the roots of the trees, and then to say the challenge it is to keep all the trees, absolutely all the trees. So you find the trees inside the house or just outside. Here in the corridor between bedroom and toilets, for example. And to use all what exists. Also the idea that we could go under this house and it could be dark, but in fact, the reflection of the sun on the sea makes the sun coming from down to up and then rising on the aluminium elements so as the place is lightened. And play, it's always a question of game and play. It's really interesting and nice and exciting to work like this. Find a way of technically to leave the trunks moving with the wind inside the house. And then to have the feeling that as you live there and you are part of the forest, your house is just a platform of concrete with some steel columns, and this is the minimum to take the maximum of advantage of the situation. So always minimum for maximum. When, like here, we have a so beautiful landscape, so beautiful situations, most of the work is done by the nature already. So you just have to make little things to make it possible to live in. This situation of extreme precision, I think we have it in any occasion, in any situation. It is the same precision to be extremely careful for everything. And here for these buildings in France that are promised for demolition in many situations, we try to say it's a mistake to demolish these blocks and houses and towers or, that have been built in the 70s. At the same time that a lot of people are asking for a house or for a flat in France, there is a strange decision that says we have to demolish a lot of these towers and blocks. And here we try to see an alternative situation. How also with economy we can do better and more delicately. So the tower was, the facade was full of asbestos for insulation. Here it was. It is 16 levels and 100 families, social housing. This was the building before. Before it was much better. Before the refurbishment in the 80s that places asbestos on the facade. And now it is like that, with a lot of difficulties to live there. And normally this building should be demolished, and there was there the possibility to try another solution. You see this absence, this lack of comfort, of pleasure, like the entrance, main entrance here, difficulties to go inside. And inside the living room, extremely small, difficulties to people do their best to make the things as they could, but everything is small and difficult. But plenty of charm and people take a lot of care of their flat. But you see difficulties. Oh, sometimes it's for washing, it's not so easy. And you have also beautiful views, but behind very, very small windows. So there is time to discussion, to explain, to make the project. Here it was with a very good friend, Frédéric Druot. We were associated on this project. And to see the possibility to extend the building. So the orange part, it is extension of the building. In order to modify and to solve some thermical problems, some energy savings questions. For example, here it is the situations today with the type 3 and type 2, and here it is the project with the extensions. So here are winter gardens and balconies. And we see here how one type 3 takes one bedroom more, and winter garden and balcony. So all the families are living in this building, and it was clear that they should stay during the works. So we have two more elevators in order to create better accessibility to different people. And we see here how one flat is transformed. A new elevator, a new heated space for a bedroom and a new kitchen, and a larger living room, and then the winter garden and the balcony that could transform in a type 3 or in a type 4. And then this is all the movements of the people. People wanting to live upstairs, or people that were upstairs they prefer to live downstairs. People that were 2 in a type 6 and they wanted to have a type 3. People that were 6 in a type 2 and they wanted to have a larger one. A family where there was 19 people in a type 6, so we had to find 3 apartments. So all these movements of people were discussed and proposed, and in fact, with this precision, everybody was okay to do the project. So the question was to change this facade and to add a new facade. A facade with large sliding doors from floor to ceiling, open to a balcony with a winter garden. Like this. So the new construction has its own foundations. It just comes close to the new facade, to the old facade. And then the building, like it is, is transformed with the extensions. So it gives better situation for the rays of the sun. In summer, there is a protection by the main facade, so you are in the shadow. In winter, the rays of the sun can go quite far, and you use the passive situation. You have here in the night a curtain very thick with insulation that allows to keep the warmth in the night. And in this, with these elements, it was possible to make an economy of 60% of the energy. So, like it is, and like it was transformed in image with this winter garden. This here is the place of the old facade, changed by the new one, 2 meters of winter garden plus 1 meter of balcony. So, and this change by inside will automatically change the building in its look. So all the time, it's never a question of facade. It is just a question of life inside, and the life inside, when you look at it outside, it's perfect. So it is not a question of developing an object. It is just a question to give good conditions for living for everybody. So this was the first prototype. The situation before changed. And then the works start, foundations, changing the facade, taking away the asbest. All the time the people and the family were inside. Making the new elements, like modular systems, that are each of them 25 square meters, and then placing them along the facade. So now the work is nearly finished. It will be finished in 3 or 4 months. People and the families are really happy with their new extensions. And at the end, it's a project that it is much more economic than the one that would be to demolish and to rebuild one. So the economy is better. And also what is interesting, that instead to have, after demolition of this building, a sort of new standard, we have here a building in which the areas and the surface of the apartments are much bigger than the standard. So here also the economy leads to this kind of solution. Same kind of project started in another city, in Saint-Nazaire, where here the little bathroom of 3 square meters is changed, placed instead of a bedroom. The new bedroom is created outside. Balcony is changed by winter garden and balcony. So you have a new apartment. So it is always this very precise system. And to create this relation between inside and outside that I feel so important in the buildings. Not to be behind a sort of machine envelope that it works like a machine, but something that works with the climate each day in a different way. So this was the situation before, 4 apartments on 10 levels. And then possibility to add some winter garden and extensions for the buildings, but also to create densification in the area and to create 20 and 20 more flats in the same project. So the transformation, winter gardens, addition, new flats, new car park covered by a green roof, better accessibility for disabled people, and the transformation works. So all these projects, they are really based on this question of, with this low budget, how it is possible to create better comfort, better possibilities. Perhaps the last project I show you. It's a competition. It's what we call in France éco-quartier. It's a sort of ecological area for new developments. And most of the time, to make an ecological area means to create more insulations, more closed facade, and we really fight against this situation. So it is a very strange challenge to think about éco-quartier in this situation, where, in fact, in the city, we had a very beautiful old forest that time after time disappeared because of the city coming and taking place of the city. So perhaps it is a mistake to say an éco-quartier has to be here, because it would be probably better to imagine that an éco-quartier should be on a car park or on a supermarket. But here the question was to use the systems for nearly 400 flats. That was a real change, and that for us was really, we were really sad, because we imagined that this forest could again disappear a little. On this project, there was this whole building that was promised for demolition. We tried to inform the municipality in order to keep it, but they said it is too late, so we tried a lot to change the advice. It was not possible. Always this idea that it is better to demolish and to rebuild from tabula rasa. We started to analyze and to think about this forest, all these different areas, different parts, where the forest was before that disappears because of the project, and so different atmosphere, different ambiences of the forest, going more deeper, and then coming to the really native forest in the back, with also birds and animals that live here. So the question for us, it was normally to keep the existing building, because absolutely there was no reason to take it away, and to think that what was the main thing, it was to defend and to protect the ground and the soil. So all we could have the less impact as possible on the ground. So the car park was totally close to the streets and close to the city, linked with the existing car park of this old building. And we said that it was the only things with roads, no more roads than these ones. Then there was some little pathways in the forest, and some points that you can nearly not see here. Sometimes some stairs, some columns, and sometimes some elevators. So you see the different systems. And then the buildings were built on very long columns, long legs. The first passage was 9 meters high from the ground floor. It was this sort of corridor linking the stairways, the staircases, and the elevators. Just above the flats, at 12 meters over the floor, the ground floor, on three levels, levels 12, 15, and 18 meters. And then some elements going a bit more up above. Very simple system of construction, very light. here the passageway, the systems of very efficient system by columns and prefabricated elements, then the flats, always the systems of balcony and terrace sections, and then this building that raises from the ground, that leaves at the maximum the soil and the ground floor as it is, as if we could keep the forest exactly like it is. And we imagine the possibility of development of this forest. This was the first year, between 1 and 4 years, between 4 and 10 years, and between 10 and 40 years. The idea that people could live in a situations with a sort of ecologic question that they concern themselves, and how they could be responsible for the forest to come back to the city where she was disappearing before. Or it was possible to make the forest coming back inside the cities to create new systems of atmosphere. So it is this interaction between natural elements and artificial elements, this interaction between nature and human, that we really are interested to develop. And then to be on the upper floor with this kind of view on the landscape. But it is a hard way, hard job. Sometimes it's not successful, and the building has been demolished, the competition has been lost, and probably the ecological area will be full of houses and the forest will be in part disappear. So I am finished, and I thank you.
You've been listening to a podcast by University of California Television. For more information about this program or UCTV, visit us online at uctv.tv.